On this week's show, I'm going to discuss five things I'm doing to try to combat the summer slowdown. We've got reselling news from eBay, Etsy, Poshmark, and more. And I sell a whole bunch of antique religious booklets. What is up, Galaxians? Welcome to episode number 204 of the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk Podcast. My name is Ryan, and I will be your host. We have got a whole bunch of stuff to go over today. I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that I'm doing in my business that might help you in yours with just general business, and in particular with summer slowdown. We're going to talk a little bit about summer slowdown and some of the things that cause that or do not cause that, as the case may be. We've got a whole mess of reselling news updates. And then at the back end of the show, you'll want to stick around for a small but interesting What Sold segment. So let's just get into this summer slowdown. It's every year at this time, hence it's called summer slowdown. We experience this kind of same thing. The business is just, unfortunately, it's seasonal. You have good times like the holidays and back to school, and you have bad times like summer slowdown and the time for some of us immediately after the holidays when people just don't have any money until their tax refunds start to roll back in. And every year at this time, inevitably, we see sellers online trying to blame the platforms, blaming Etsy or blaming eBay. And to be fair, I'm not an eBay apologist. They've got a mess of issues going on right now that are making these problems worse, which we'll get into when we get to the reselling news. But this is just a business cycle. And there are some things that we can do as sellers. At least that's my opinion. I believe there are some things that I can do as a seller, and you can do what you want with this. but there are some things that we can control, and those are the things that we should be focused on. So let's just jump right into this. Number one, and most of these will probably sound obvious, and they are things that I do consistently in my business on a weekly basis, even during normal times. But they're things that I am maybe doing more or increasing the volume of and that sort of thing. So the first one is just list more or list higher value goods. Now, I tend to be a bulk buyer. I'll buy hundreds, sometimes thousands of items at once. And the price of those things, the retail value, if you will, kind of is what it is. But I am in a position, because I have that stuff here, to list more things. Normally, I list anywhere from 100 to 110 items a week. If you follow me over on Instagram at Galaxy CDs Rocks, I usually post a weekly recap on Saturday morning about how many things I've listed, how many listings I've sold, and that kind of thing. Just talk a little bit about my week. Normally, 100 to 110 in a given week. As we've ramped into summer slowdown, I have increased my listings. 2 weeks ago, I did 135. This week I did 125, which, considering I lost half a day with a road trip to Louisville for other business, I consider pretty good. That's somewhere between 40 and 50 extra listings over that 2 week time span to try to give myself a few extra at bats because things are a little bit slower. So get more merchandise out there. Or, of course, the other option, like I said, is to list higher value goods. If you have stuff sitting around waiting to be listed that's higher value, that's more expensive, this is a great time to get it on there, because if you get that buyer, obviously it generates a lot more revenue with that one item. So list more stuff. Number two, if you want to list more stuff, you got to source more stuff. So we all like sourcing anyway. And I know I just posted, this is crazy, I just posted in my Reseller Daily Tips last Thursday or Friday, don't buy too much. But this is one of those times where, if you're not sitting on a death pile, first off, congratulations. but this is probably not a bad time to have some extra inventory laying around so that you can do tip number one and list a little bit more stuff. Get out there and find some things to sell. Take an extra day sourcing. Nobody ever complains about going out to source. So this is a great time to hit the garage sales, hit the estate sales, hit the thrift stores, whatever your sourcing method of choice is, get out there and find some more stuff. Sometimes you got to spend a little more to make a little more. And this is one of those times where I think buying some additional stuff probably would not be a bad idea. Now, again, I'm not talking about buying more than you think you can realistically handle. But again, consider we're already coming up on the end of June, and it's time to start thinking about Q4 as well. So this is a good time to probably add some more stuff to your cash pile, we'll call it. Tip number three, use the tools that the platforms offer you. Now, some of this is probably going to be controversial. Some of you are opposed to some of the things that I'm going to talk about here, and I totally get it. You have to do what's right for your business. These are just the things that I'm working with to try to combat the fact that traffic, views, clicks are all down. So first off, I'm running my biggest sale ever. I have literally 60% of my inventory running on sale right now at 30% off. So you may not have the margins to be able to do that. Work within whatever your margins are and maybe run a sale or some kind of promotion to try to drive some additional traffic. Does it cost you a little bit of money on the back end in profit? Yes, it does. But if you get more sales, the name of the game ultimately at this time of year is cash flow. We need some money coming in because sales are slow. I want to be able to go buy new stuff. I want to be able to get stocked up for fourth quarter. I want to pay my bills. So you got to have some stuff selling. And if it takes running a sale at 10% off, 15% off, whatever it is, that's something that you might want to consider. You're giving away a little bit of margin, but you're going to make it back in sales. I've also created, as I talked about on last week's show, a friend and family coupon discount, offering an additional 15% off for people who use that. So that's another opportunity. Get out there on social media and talk to your friends and family and try to get them to come to your store, entice them, maybe with a little bit of a sale. If you're not doing send offers, especially on eBay, where that's really a thing that you can do fairly easily in bulk, you probably want to consider doing that. I send probably hundreds of offers a week. This morning I got up, I had 53 items in my send offers eligible list. I bulk sent 53 offers. I've sold two or three things off of that. Those offers are usually good for a couple of days, so I'll probably sell a couple more. Those are opportunities. Again, I'm offering 15% off on those offers. You can do what you want, whether it's 5%, 25%, whatever you're comfortable with, but entice those people who are watching or clicking your items to go ahead and take the plunge and make a purchase. Again, you are sacrificing a little bit of margin, but you're generating cash flow and sales, which again, at this time of year, is kind of the name of the game. And lastly, and this one will probably be the most controversial, if you're not using things like promoted listings over on eBay, this might be a time to consider it. I know a lot of folks don't want to do the pay to play. They don't want to pay extra fees to eBay to do what they're supposed to be doing already. I get that. The field is what it is at this point. Promoted listings, a lot of sellers are already using them. And if you're not participating in that, you're probably leaving some money on the table in terms of lost sales. So if you're not doing promoted listings, maybe try it with a particular product category or something where you can get in for just a little bit and try it and see if it helps. If you're already using them and you're at, like I was, 5%, maybe consider increasing it. I bumped mine for this month to 6.5% just to see if it would do any good. Some of this stuff is difficult to measure because sales are already down. So I don't know, would I be down even more if I wasn't doing this? It's very difficult to say, but I am getting activity each and every day through promoted listings. So I can only assume that it's working and that I'm making sales that I would not be making if I was not doing that. I know they got a bad rap. Not everybody wants to do it. It may not fit your business model, but it's certainly something to consider. Also, use any other tools that those platforms offer. Poshmark has their live shows. Whatever tools are available to you on a platform that you may not have tried, this is a great time to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and try some new things. Number four, social media. I just talked about the friends and family. If you have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever it is you're doing on social media, this is a great time to try to promote your business, whether you promote it through a sale or just particular items that you have that you think people might find interesting, that might entice people to buy. You need to be on social media right now, blowing up your shop. That's a quick one. Lastly, cross-list. If you're only listing on one platform, you are probably leaving a significant amount of money on the table. We're all going to have our primary site that we sell on. Mine is eBay. 85% of my sales on a weekly basis are from eBay. But if I was not on those other sites, my sales would be down essentially 15% because I'm doing 15% more business in the combination primarily between Mercari and Etsy. If you're only on one platform and you're not fully engaged with cross-listing, this is a great time to start doing that. Get your listings out in front of more buyers, on more sites, and generate a little bit of additional business. I've talked about them before. I use them. I think very highly of them. I use List Perfectly. If you want to try it, again, there is an affiliate link in the show notes and the video description below. Use that link and the code Galaxy. Save 30% off your first month. It is hands down the best $49 a month I spend. I make my money back usually within the first day. making sales on Etsy and Mercari through cross-listing. List Perfectly will do a ton more stuff that I don't even begin to tap into, but cross-posting, getting your items on more sites is one of the probably the best ways to just easily increase your sales. Again, you're going to spend a little money on the software, but if your results are anything like mine, you are going to more than make that back. Like I said, I make tons more than I spend on that software every single month. So I'm doing all of that. And 10, 15 days into the month, things have started to pick up a little bit. The first week or so of June was really, really rough. I kicked in the sale. I upped my promoted listings percentage. I really knuckled down on getting some listings up, and things are back, at least for right now, to a little bit more normal level. So let me know. Number one, if you got any value out of these tips, you find anything interesting here, do me a favor if you're watching on YouTube and whack that thumbs up button. If you're not a subscriber to the channel or a follower of the podcast, this is a great time to do that as well. and let me know in the comments, what are you doing in your business to try to combat the dreaded summer slowdown? Let me know if there's anything I missed that I should be doing. But that's the things that I'm working on right now to try to beat back summer slowdown. So now let's get into some reselling news.
News updates.
You can also let me know if you're watching on YouTube. I've got a new screen format here. Rather than my tiny little head down in the corner, I'm doing a little bit of a split screen. So let me know if that if that helps or makes any sense for you or not. First off, with eBay, they just announced authenticity guarantee for kids sneakers. We have expanded our authenticity guarantee program for sneakers to now include kids and baby sizes, which is pretty cool. Over the last year, we've noticed an increase in searches for kids models of popular kicks and a rising trend of parents choosing branded or designer sneakers for their little ones. In response, we wanted to make sure the sneaker shopping experience was just as safe and easy, whether shopping for size 2 or 12. As a seller on eBay, you can now enjoy the benefits of our authenticity guarantee program when selling eligible kids' sneakers. The perks, of course, include professional authentication, verified returns, all at no additional cost to you. As we've talked about several times over the last couple of months, they continue to expand this guarantee eligibility program within sneakers to add more brands, more models, more price points, and to add more items to the program. So this is a big deal for eBay. And if you are a sneaker seller, it's probably a big deal for you as well. There will be a link, of course, to this and all the articles in the show notes and the video description below. If you need more information, there is a link in this article to see what the eligible items are. On not so good a note, this article is over on Sports Collectors Daily. eBay is going to limit break listings to only pre-approved accounts. If you want to break cases or boxes on eBay, you'll have to hope the company has seen fit to approve you. eBay has sent out emails to users who sell or have sold spots in case, box, or pack breaks on Wednesday, outlining a new policy that will only allow certain pre-approved sellers to list on the platform. An eBay spokesperson told SC Daily, "We want to take steps to support this experience while also ensuring a greater level of consistency for our buyer community. The policy won't be implemented until July 18th, so you've got about a month, but will likely impact a large number of smaller sellers who do these break spots." Some collectors reacting on social media said the move was a good one, reducing the number of break listings while taking an active role in vetting the large number of breakers on the platform. However, it was a tough pill to swallow for those who suddenly learned they'd no longer be able to do it. eBay said they're in the process of contacting breakers it has approved to continue to sell on the platform. Others who have not gotten the okay received emails on Wednesday, and eBay is not taking applications. In short, if you're approved, eBay is going to let you know. Don't call us, we'll call you. They say any live auctions that are underway can be completed, but after July 18th, you'll no longer be able to start new listings, they stated in the email to breakers who were not approved. So if you're a sports card seller, let me know in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube, is this going to affect you? Were you one of these people that got the dreaded message from eBay that you were no longer going to be able to do that? This article on e-commerce bites, expect months of tweaking to the eBay listing page. So we just talked about summer slowdown, and I mentioned that eBay is not at fault for the cyclical nature of summer slowdown. It's just part of business. What they are at fault for is a really big list of technical issues that have been going on over the last 2 weeks. They are... God love them. They're trying to tweak probably too many things all at once with the new international shipping program. They're trying to tweak the listing page. They're trying to do AI in the listing flow. They're adding categories. It's just one thing after another, and it's probably a bit too much, and it's causing all kinds of issues with the site. We're not going to go into all of it here, but over the last week, they have had issues with the seller app not working properly, with search not working properly. I saw reports of some sellers doing their normal morning search and finding no search results popping up when they would normally get 6, 8, 10, in some cases 40,000 results, and they were getting zero. So that affects us as sellers. So when you already have summer slowdown and eBay is trying to do all these things and causing downstream technical issues, it really exacerbates the problem. And for that, yes, eBay is most definitely at fault, and people are well within their rights to be upset and complain about it. To be fair, I don't know when you do this kind of stuff. You don't want to do it going into fourth quarter. Maybe it needed to happen in the spring when business was still okay. I don't know what the right answer is, but the fact that they have these ongoing issues on top of business being slow to begin with is problematic, to say the least. I'll get off my soapbox now. But they say expect months of tweaking to the eBay listing page. An eBay employee told sellers to expect months of additional testing of the view item page redesign in response to questions from some sellers who had seen some changes to the layout of their pages. Sellers who saw the changes were concerned that eBay was planning on placing even more ads for rival listings above the section describing their items. This has been an ongoing concern for sellers. eBay with the promoted listings, which is one more reason why you probably want to consider doing it, is they are plugging those listings into other people's view item pages. Is that right? Is that wrong? I don't like it personally, but it is what it is at this point, and we probably need to find a way to play along. But that is continuing to go on. They said on June 13th, an eBay buyer team member provided the following update. Our plans have not changed. They said, we are still working on improving the overall experience for view item on desktop. This is only on desktop. These changes are under development and we are testing with small percentages of audiences. You will observe that we don't necessarily test all the changes at once. These are usually done in steps and take some time. As we do these tests, we have start and end the test at times as we understand the results. Overall, they say the goal remains the same and as follows. Number one, larger image. Number two, increase prominence of the seller information. Number three, bring critical information like item specifics. There's those item specifics we talk about from time to time, and seller description higher up on the page before any modules that show other items and ads. That would be key. If they do that, I'm all for it. Improve the hierarchy of the page so we show the most important information in the right order. Please expect more tests over the next couple of months. So if you're one that shops on the desktop app, you're on the web, you're going to see a lot of variation in what the item detail pages look like over the next couple months while eBay kind of figures out what they want to do here. Moving over to Etsy, this article on The Atlantic. We've talked about AI over the last couple of weeks, and this article is AI-generated junk is flooding Etsy. Coloring books, stickers, mugs, and t-shirts are being pumped out by AI-assisted hustlers. And that's definitely true. My YouTube feed is full of the very stuff that they talk about in this article. According to the amateur online business advisors of YouTube, the age of easily accessible AI is the age of asking and receiving. ChatGPT and other AI tools are ascendant in popular culture, as is the idea that you can ask them for anything. You can even ask them to make you rich. They talk about one of these AI influencers who said in one of his videos about using AI to make money, he explains that images created with Midjourney can be made in seconds and sold as digital downloads on Etsy. I have seen a lot of these already. A way to tap into the quote-unquote multi-million dollar market of clip art. Incidentally, this is one of the first ideas that ChatGPT gave the writer when they asked for it to give him or her 10 ideas for online businesses. The idea stage is actually perfect for AI. They continued, you can ask AI to give you ideas for products to sell on Etsy, and it will spit out a big list for you. Of course, you do have to sift through the list and use some human reasoning to determine if the ideas will work. You also have to hurry. They say it's a gold rush in this era that may or may not last forever. In How to Make Your First $1,000 with ChatGPT, a YouTuber lets viewers know they should get started before everyone else understands this stuff. You need to capitalize on the opportunities while they persist. The urgency conveyed in the videos is softened with the reassurance that all of this is oh so easy. that you can do this with no skill. They say you can make money on AI with YouTube short form video app using no face or voice. This person watched a video, how to make $10,561 a month. What a random number that is. That's one of those, you know, they teach you like in business school not to do like round numbers. If you said 10,000 or 11,000, it seems fake, but when you have a very specific number like 10,561, supposedly that gives it more credibility. I'm not sure I buy that at this point, but anyway, how to make that much using digital products using AI. You can see the premise. Promises of ease are true, but not exactly the whole story. This host asked ChatGPT to list some ideas for children's coloring pages. Put those ideas then into Midjourney to generate the images, which she then sells on marketplaces like Etsy. The results, the writer says, are impressive in that they look basically like coloring book pages, black and white, with places to color. However, and this is something that has come up quite regularly on these image generation things, in one image, a chicken has three legs, and in another, a fox has a bird mouth. they say the host of this particular YouTube video did not appear to notice, or if she did, she did not remark on it. It may come as a surprise. They say that AI-generated products are so commonplace on Etsy, a platform that was designed nearly two decades ago specifically for artisan handmade items. But the site has been moving away from its history for years, and unrest among its longtime sellers is basically the status quo. We've talked about this over the last couple of episodes where there's a big problem with obviously stuff like this and counterfeit products and knockoffs and so on and so forth on Etsy, things that are clearly not artisanal handmade items, and Etsy is just fine with that. The site has been moving away from this history for years, and in 2019, they said sellers bristled when they were pushed to offer free shipping to compete with Amazon. They're still pushing that. I'm still not doing it. And it doesn't seem to have affected me. Etsy CEO Josh Silverman told the writer that handmade was no longer, quote, the value proposition of the site. Modern Etsy celebrates garbage as long as it sells. That's the writer's words, not Silverman's. although if they were, I would really appreciate that level of honesty from him, because that's essentially where they're at right now. So there was one Etsy seller and clip art designer, Jane Side, told me she wasn't surprised at all that Etsy was allowing all this AI art. It's a platform for making money, and AI is making a lot of money right now. She started selling paintings in college, but did much better with digitized illustrations, which she eventually was able to turn into a full-time job. However, since the end of last year, her sales have dropped 50%, which is coincidentally when AI art started hitting the Etsy marketplace. She says it could just be a coincidence. There's so many factors that go into it, but when I look up clip art on Etsy, half of the results are AI-generated art. It's kind of hard not to draw conclusions when you're very obviously competing in a space that is no longer for you. The article concludes all about spotting an opportunity. This Stephen Horniak, proprietor of an Etsy shop selling collections of pre-written ChatGPT and Midjourney prompts, supplements his teacher's salary with about $300 a day in profit. Not too shabby. His most popular products are a ChatGPT Etsy listing generator, a detailed prompt that users can input into ChatGPT to help them create Etsy product listings that are optimized to appear in Google search, and a collection of 2,500 Midjourney art prompts. He says the secret sauce is that once you learn how to engineer prompts, you can create prompts that generate other prompts. I'll take my bestsellers and feed them in the ChatGPT and say, hey, here are 10 of my bestsellers from my Etsy shop. Help me generate 25 new ideas of products that I could also sell. And boom, they're done. He does say he updates his list once he sells this thing. He delivers it on a Google Sheet that so he can update it, and the customer always gets the most current version. So once they buy it, they're not stuck with the old version. He updates it. So I do give him credit for that. But I've seen a lot of this where people are selling these prompts for ChatGPT and the various AI. So let me know. Are you doing any of that? I have not. I messed around a little bit with it, and the results I got from the image generation were like the chicken with three legs kind of thing. There was just really nothing there that was usable for me, so I haven't really done much with it. But again, let me know in the comments, if you're watching on YouTube, what you think of all that. Moving to Poshmark, they announced a hat tip to Excess Baggage, who tagged me in a post over on Instagram that this was going on. Poshmark has introduced Posh Lens. Posh Lens provides shoppers with the ability to visually search items and easily find similar items on Poshmark. It is only accessible currently through the app. To ensure you have access, please update your app to the latest version. To search using Posh Lens on your feed or shop tab, go to the search bar and select the camera icon, just like with pretty much every other app that uses something similar. Take a photo or upload a photo from your camera roll by selecting the upload icon in the bottom left corner. Once you've taken or uploaded the photo, swipe up on the search results to view matched listings. Note, if multiple items are identified in the image, a marker will appear within the photo. Select the marker to initiate a second search. Once search results are provided, you may filter listings by size by selecting all sizes in the upper left corner and then select my size. It only supports search currently in select categories, and apparently not everybody has it yet from the post that I saw on Instagram. And it is still very much a work in progress, though to be fair, eBay's version of this, which they have had on their site for quite some time, is also pretty hit or miss with the results that it gives you. So kudos to Poshmark for getting into this technology and offering it to their users. And again, thank you to Annette Excess Baggage for tipping me off to that. Poshmark has also announced PoshFest 2023. It's going to be in California on October 12th and 13th, a two-day fashion and entrepreneurship conference. PoshFest is coming to San Diego, California, October 12th and 13th of this year. The event will be held in person at the Town and Country San Diego Resort, located at 500 Hotel Circle. The company has not yet released an agenda. Poshers from across the globe are invited to attend the conference, and for those that cannot make it, select sessions will be available online. They've not released any information on prices to attend the in-person event or a sign-up form as of yet. For reference, the cost to attend Posh Fest in Houston, it was $279, and they do also post a copy of the agenda from 2022. They note that they are actively seeking input from the Posher community about topics of interest, inviting experienced sellers to participate in panel discussions and presentations, and seeking sponsors, of course, for an opportunity to reach the rich and diverse community. There is a link if you'd like to get involved. If you're not familiar, it is a big conference for Poshmark users to come together and connect with each other, learn from experts, and gain insights into the world of reselling fashion. It usually features keynote speeches delivered by prominent company leaders and notable figures from the fashion and entrepreneurship industry. In addition, the event offers a prime opportunity for sellers to actively participate in panel discussions. These activities, they say, facilitate connections with fellow Poshers and provide valuable learning experiences, enabling sellers to acquire insightful tips and strategies to improve their reselling business. So if you are a Posher and you're interested in this, it's coming up in the fall, October 12th and 13th in San Diego. Moving on to Amazon. We talked about this a little bit in last week's show. Amazon sellers call on Congress to delay the enforcement of the new law. Sellers fear mass suspensions due to problems they're experiencing with Amazon's verification process, and some are calling on Congress to delay enforcement of the Inform Act, which is behind Amazon's mass re-verification efforts. As we've been reporting here on E-commerce Bytes, they say some sellers have encountered difficulties completing the process, and Amazon did finally acknowledge that they're having some issues on their end. There's a lot at stake for sellers, but for Amazon as well, the FTC said violating the law could result in civil penalties of between $50 and $120 per violation. Amazon's got a lot of sellers that have not completed this process yet. That could get really expensive for them. The Amazon Sellers Group, ASGTG, on Facebook started a petition on change.org calling for a 90-day delay in enforcement. The petition states the Inform Consumers Act goes into effect on June 27th, 2023. We are asking for a delay of 90 days before Amazon starts suspending accounts, as there have been delays in the rollout and some very legitimate sellers need more time to obtain proper documentation. According to the group, a poll that they did, only 7% of the sellers have been able to complete this with what they call quote unquote minimal friction. So it has been a very troubled rollout of all these updates over on Amazon. And in better news, to close out the news for the week, Amazon is now allowing sellers to add videos to their listings. Videos have long been one of the best tools to boost sales, and Amazon now will allow sellers to add videos to their product listings. Amazon third-party sellers who have been selling for 3 months or longer are now eligible to upload product videos to help them boost sales, improve conversion, and decrease returns, the company announced. And best of all, sellers do not have to be brand registered to add videos, so this new feature is available to all sellers. The videos, they note, can include a multitude of information, such as product demos, installation guides, and step-by-step tutorials. They note, furthermore, edited versions of these product videos can then be repurposed as short-form videos and strategically shared on social media channels to drive traffic to those product listings. So really cool. eBay has been rolling this out. Etsy has a video feature. So Amazon is going to add video to their listing flow for sellers. Very, very cool. Now let's get into some What Sold. Are you tired of the same old boring puzzles? Mix things up with Wongo Puzzles. Each puzzle is a custom design with intricate patterns and whimsical shapes that will keep you engaged for hours. Plus, their eco-friendly materials and commitment to sustainability make Wongo Puzzles a guilt-free way to unwind. They are 100% wooden puzzles. They'll last forever. Each piece is hand-drawn, so no two pieces are the same, and you'll discover some fun whimsy pieces as you work through it. They come in a custom box, which is perfect for storage and gifting. With stunning designs and unique shapes, Wongo puzzles are a cut above the rest. I love doing the snow globe puzzle myself. It was great to pull out a puzzle and be done in a night and not have it on the table for a week. What are you waiting for? Go to wongopuzzles.com and pick your puzzle today. And be sure to use the promo code GALAXY to get 10% off your order. This is the most fun you've had with a puzzle, guaranteed, or your money back. Go to wongopuzzles.com and use the code GALAXY to get 10% off your order and get puzzling right now. I've only got, I think, maybe half a dozen or so today, so this will be fairly quick and painless, or painful, I suppose, depending on your point of view. This first item sold over on Etsy, a first print-on-demand sale for the month. A little adventure is not going nearly as well as I had hoped. I'm still selling a few things here and there, but it has really slowed down. I'm hoping that fourth quarter it will be a little more profitable, but I did sell this I'd Rather Be Watching Trains sweatshirt for $27.99 plus shipping. I did an episode months ago about print on demand where I use Printify, designed some of these shirts and mugs and whatnot, like they were just talking about. I've sold a few things here and there, but again, it has not been nearly as easy as the YouTube experts would lead you to believe. Here's a book I literally just picked up yesterday. I paid $1.50 for this. The Criswell Study Bible from 1979 was produced by Thomas Nelson. It was a padded hardcover King James version in really, really nice shape. I listed it for $39.99. plus shipping, immediately started getting offers on it. Sales prices had been anywhere from about $28 to $35. I received an offer of $32. Quick flip, own it for $1.50, get it out of here. The Criswell Study Bible, if you see any of those, there's not a ton of them out there. It doesn't look like they're in print anymore. They can be pretty valuable, $32 from $1.50. This was a cool old book. The Chrysanthemum and the Bat, The Game Japanese Play by Robert Whiting. It was a hardcover, small, almost pocket-sized with its dust jacket. This sold over on eBay. I had it listed for $44.99 plus media mail shipping. It got a watcher. I sent out one of the offers that I talked about in the opening of the show for 15% off and sold it for $38.24. This was part of a big lot that I purchased for about 16 cents a book. Another item over on Etsy, Our Lady Comes to Garabandal, including Conchita's Diary. This is from 1974, sold for $39.99 plus media mail shipping. Again, this is an item that was in that same big lot, so it's another 16 cents turned into $40. Another one from the huge 15,000 book lot that I own for about 4.5 cents a piece, give or take. An Explorer of Changing Horizons by William Edgar Gile and Philip Whitwell Wilson from 1927. Had this listed for $49.99 or best offer, received an offer of $40. Again, I own it for less than a nickel, so I went ahead and took that deal. And here's the, kind of the flip of the week. There's going to be two of these. So I had a customer that reached out. I have had for quite some time a bunch of these old 1920s, 30s, and early 1940s little Bible study booklets that looked like they were probably used in Sunday schools during that time. They were called Bible Ways for Primary Days. I had broken these into 7 or 8 lots of 4 to 5 of these, and had them listed for $7.99 to $9.99 plus shipping. And I had a customer that reached out and said, hey, I'm interested in all of these. What kind of deal could you give me? I'd like to offer $50. And I quickly said, I don't think I can do 50, but I'd be happy to do 60 plus combined shipping. If that works, let me know. I'll put together a listing and shoot it out. She said that sounded great, so we sold 37 in total of these little Bible study booklets for $60 plus shipping. When I sent her the link to this updated listing, I sent her a message that also said, by the way, if you're interested in similar items, I also have these little lessons for beginners. I've got 42 of these, again, from the late 20s through the early 40s. The same kind of booklets from the same company, just, I don't know, one may have been aimed at a little bit of a different age group. I said I would do the same deal, even though there's a few more of these. If you're interested in them, I would do $60 for the whole lot. She said that sounded like a good deal. So in total, I sold, what does that work out to, 37, 70, 77, 79 of these for a total of $120. I'm into these things for like a nickel a piece. So a really nice flip. Super nice lady that reached out, apparently is an older lady. She said these reminded her of her time in Sunday school. So really, frankly, thrilled that these are going to a home where someone will really appreciate them. They were in, considering their age and what they were used for, they were in really remarkable condition. So hopefully she gets them next week and is very pleased with them. And I'm very happy to have had a very nice flip out of those. So that's going to put a wrap on this week's episode. A lot going on there. Again, hopefully some of those tips early in the show for how to, not only to how to combat maybe summer slowdown, but things you should be doing probably in your business to help grow and maintain steady business anyway. If you found any of that useful, please let me know in the comments. Again, if you have other things that you would like to share, feel free to do that as well. If you're listening to the pod, you can, of course, DM me at Instagram at GalaxyCDsRocks or email me at gmail at GalaxyCDs. That's not right. That's backwards. How about GalaxyCDs at gmail.com? That sounds better. Oh, man, what a day. Anyway, and a ton of reselling news. Some good, some bad. Let me know what you think of any of that. With all that now having been said, it's time to sell. Thanks, guys.
You have been listening to the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you again next time.